Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope, it's a place where you can receive an encouraging word to build you up and build up your faith in God. If you miss listening to one of my programs on Sunday, you can always listen to my Voice of Hope programs and my Voice of Hope Today podcast by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org. But you know, we live in challenging times, and I want to talk today about trust in the Lord, how we need to put our trust in God in these challenging times. Not to put our trust in anything else, but to put our trust in God. You know, the trust is when you rest in something. You trust somebody, you believe what they say, you believe what they're going to do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is your believing for something that you have not yet received. Trust is you believe in what God has given to you now. See, in the studio, I'm sitting doing this broadcast. I'm sitting on a chair. And it doesn't take any faith to sit on this chair because I've seen the chair. I know the chair holds me up. But I trust the chair holds me up. So I sit on the chair because I trust it will hold me up. I don't need faith. You need faith for something you haven't seen yet, something you're believing for. But faith is often built on trust. You know, if you trust somebody, you'll believe what they say and you'll do what they ask you to do. If you don't trust them, you won't believe what they say. So our relationship with God, just like any relationship, must be built on trust. So in this day and age, we need to learn to trust in God. I'm going to look at one of my favorite scripture verses about trust, which is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And that's just after the book of Psalms. We have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs written by Solomon, the wisest man in the world. And so this is one of his Proverbs, Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, which is a proverb on trust and how trust works in our lives. And Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding." So we got to trust God completely and don't lean to our understanding. You know, the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He says, "As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways and God's thoughts above our thoughts." You know, God is so great, and he sees everything. He knows the past, the present, the future. He sees everything happening in the world. He knows everything. And so a lot of times things happen that we don't understand. And a lot of times God may tell us to do something we don't understand. But if we trust God, we will do it even though we don't understand. You know, you can tell a child not to do something, and he needs to obey simply because he trusts that you know better than he does. And so if you have a hot stove, you tell the child, don't touch the stove. The child needs to know that you know better than him. If he doesn't trust you or believe you, he'll go over and touch the stove and burn himself. And sometimes God tells us not to do something, and we go ahead and do it, and we suffer consequences because we don't really trust God. Or God, something bad happens in our life and we don't understand why it's happening. But we need to trust God because God's ways are different than our ways. His wisdom is greater than our wisdom. His power is greater than our power. And he does things differently. You know, God called Abraham to leave his country and everything he had to go to a place he did not know. And he promised him to make him a great nation and to give him many descendants. And Abraham obeyed God, and he walked for over 20 years and not receiving the promise. But he trusted that God was faithful. He trusted the one who gave the promise. God was faithful to fulfill the promise. But it was delayed, and he didn't understand. It got very old before they had their first child. See, we got to trust God, even though we don't see what we want right now. We got to trust God. So it says, trust with all your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding, because our understanding is limited. Verse 6 says, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge God is to give God honor. You know, you acknowledge someone, you give them honor. You recognize them. See, we need to recognize God in everything. And we need to ask God about everything. He says, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So we need to say, God, how should I do this? What should I do? We need to ask for God's wisdom and direction. See, if you don't honor God and acknowledge him, then you just do things the best way you know how. You see, when I acknowledge somebody, I say, can you help me with this? Can you tell me what to do? How do I do this? You acknowledge the person knows more than you. So we need to acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So in everything you go through, acknowledge God. God, I need you. God, what should I do? What is your direction in my life? Listen to the Holy Spirit because you acknowledge that you need God and he's wiser and smarter than you are. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know the answers. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if you have a respect for God, you won't do that which is against God. You won't do that which is evil. See, you can't be a Christian and really love God and walk in sin, because sin is a violation of the will of God. Sin is something bad for our lives. Sin destroys our lives. So if we really trust God, we won't think we know better than God. We will trust him and we'll do what he asks to do, and we won't walk in sin. We'll have a respect for God, and because of respect for God, we don't do those things that are against God. It said, verse 7, do not be wise in your eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, the result of sin is sickness. So when you walk in sin, it produces sickness in your life. And so if you do evil, it produces sickness in your life. But if you depart from evil, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, if you walk in God's ways, if you walk in holiness and righteousness, if you walk in obedience to God, God's going to give you strength and health in your life. Because sin destroys our life. Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so when we walk in sin, it opens the door for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. But if we walk in obedience to God, then it opens the door for God's blessing in our life and for God's healing power in our life and for health in our lives. Sin always destroys. Obedience to God always brings health. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, if you really trust the Lord, you will honor him with all your possessions. That is, everything you have belongs to God if you really trust him, because he is the source of everything you need. And he says, you give the first fruit of your increase. In other words, everything God gives you, or everything you receive, the first fruit you give to God. The first fruit of your harvest you give to God. The first fruit of any money you receive you give to God. Because you trust him. It's an indication you trust him. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we robbed you, God? And he says, you rob me in your tithes and offerings. Tithes is a 10% that we need to give God. It's a 10% that we owe that belongs to God, doesn't belong to us. So if you get 1,000 shillings, 100 shillings belongs to God. If you get 10,000 shillings, 1,000 shillings belongs to God. You just take off the last zero off of whatever number you have. See, we need to give a tithe of everything we have. When I get any money, the first thing I do is take God's tithe off of 10% because it belongs to God. And God says, if you don't do that, you've robbed me. And he goes on and says in verse 10 of Malachi 3, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is God's house. For us, it's the church. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me in this, says the Lord, and if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. God says, if we tithe, we're going to walk in God's blessing. And he says, if you do that, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing there will be no room enough for you to receive it. You know, people say, well, tithe is of the Old Testament, it's of the law. Yeah, but the law, we're free from the law. It says there, if we don't tithe, we're under a curse. But because of Jesus Christ, Jesus took the curse from us. And if you're in Jesus, you're not cursed because you don't tithe, but you fail to receive God's blessing. See, God doesn't need our money. God wants us to show that we trust him and that we'll do what he asks us to do. And God's law does not change. If we give to God, God will bless us. If we give our tithe, he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. And he goes on to verse 11, says, and I will rebuke the devourer from your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So he will not only bless you, but he'll keep bad things happening from you. He'll keep sickness off you. He'll keep the enemy from destroying your crops if you will give your tithes to God. It's a privilege God gives us to do, and it belongs to God. And God says, if you don't give it, you're robbing me, because it belongs to God. It does not belong to us. Jesus in the New Testament gave a greater law. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will put into your lap. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. See, that's even more than tithing. God says, Jesus, as you give, the same way I will give to you. Give and I will give to you. With the same measure that you give, I will bless you. And so if you give a small amount, you receive a small amount. If you give generously, you'll receive generously. And you say, well, I don't know if God can, do you trust God? Do you trust God to heal you? Do you trust God to provide for you? Are you trusting in man or are you trusting in God? If you trust in God, you will freely give what God asks you to give. You'll give your tithe into the storehouse. You'll give your tithe into the church. People give all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't give their tithe, you know. But you give your tithe in obedience to God. You know, I have tithed all that my income ever since I was a young person. When I started getting money, first thing my parents taught me to do was take 10% off of it and give it to God. And I give my tithe to the church, and then my pastor or church leaders are responsible for God how they use that money. But for me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I tithe everything. Now, some people I've talked to in Africa say, well, you know, God can bless you in the States, but here in Africa, you know, it's very difficult, you know, challenging. No, God is the same. What God can do in America, he can do in Africa, because God's word does not change. And Jesus said, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over. God said, give your tithes and I will open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. That is the word of God. And it's the same. God's word is same everywhere. It's not one way, one place, another place. You know, I've heard Americans say, you know, God does miracles in Africa, but God doesn't do miracles in America. How ridiculous is that? If God does miracles in Africa, he does miracles in America. Because he's the same God. And we know that. And if God blesses in America, he can bless in Africa too. Because that is the way God's word works. God's word is true. He cannot lie. What he says, he will accomplish. So God is calling us into a greater area of giving. If we really trust the Lord, we will give and he will bless and he will prosper us. He'll keep the devourer off our crop. He'll keep us from sickness. He'll help us walk in health if we do what God has called us to do. And God is willing to do a new thing in us. You know, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says, it's talking about the time of Isaac, which was Abraham's son, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Isaac was Abraham's son, and they were living in the promised land. And in Genesis 26, 1 says, there was a famine in the promised land. You know, you can be walking God's promises, and sometimes there's still famine. There's still problems all around you. You know, and there are difficult times. Right now, we're in very difficult times. And we can be in God but and still suffer some difficulties. But I want you to listen to Isaac's response. It says there was famine in the land. There was drought. There had been no rain. And so there was no food in the land. But look down at verse 12, Genesis 26, 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And Isaac began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. And that was during famine. What was Isaac's response during famine? Isaac planted seed during famine. See, giving is planting seed. The more seed you plant, the more you harvest. And you don't stop planting seed just because it's famine. See, because you trust God, you have faith in God to supply your need. And God had promised to bless Isaac in the promised land. And so even though there was famine in the land and everyone was suffering hunger because there was no rain, Isaac, because he trusted God, had faith in God, Isaac planted during famine season, during drought when there was no rain, and he received a hundredfold, and God blessed him, and he prospered and continued to prosper and became very prosperous. See, that is the will and plan of God for every believer that God wants to do in us. If we will walk according to God's way, when you withhold from God, then God can't bless. God can only bless what you give him, then he will bless you in return. What you keep for yourself, God cannot bless. We need to give so God will bless. You know, when I lived and worked as a missionary in the country of Haiti for 9 years. And during those nine years, we went through several years of drought and there was great famine in Haiti. And the Haitian government called upon the American government to give them corn for the people in Haiti. So the American government gave them corn to eat, gave them a yellow corn to eat and a red corn to plant so that they could plant the red corn and eat the yellow corn while they're waiting for the harvest. And so, you know, about 6 or 8 months went by and all the corn was gone and they cried out to the American government, please give us more corn. And the American government said, what did you do with the red corn? Are you having a harvest now? Did you plant the red corn? They said, no, we ate the yellow corn and we ate the red corn too because we were hungry. And they said, no, we gave you the red corn to plant so you'd harvest and have food to eat, but you've eaten the seed and you've eaten the harvest. So now what do you have to plant? And we do the same to God. God blesses us and he asks us to give a tithe, 10%. 1,000 shillings, 100 shillings belongs to God. 10,000 shillings, 1,000 shillings belongs to God. 30,000 shillings, 3,000 shillings belongs to God. That is God's system. And so God gives and he wants us to plant some of it into the kingdom. Give and it will be given unto you, good measure pressed down and running over will men pour into your bosom. Because the same measure you give, you'll receive. You know the importance of planting seed. If you don't plant seed, you don't have a harvest. And the more seed you plant, the greater the harvest you will have. And then if you can fertilize it, I call the word of God fertilization. You can fertilize the seed with the word. If you give, you begin to obey the word of God, and God will even produce a greater harvest. The other thing is, besides cultivating, you need to water your seed. And if you water your seed, you'll produce a greater harvest, and I call watering prayer. And so you plant a seed and because you trust God, you give because you trust God, and you harvest because you trust God. In the meantime, while you're waiting for the seed to produce, you walk in obedience to God's word, do what God asks you to do. That's like cultivating your garden. And then you water it with prayer, and God will give the seed you plant a great harvest. If you're cheap with God, God will be cheap with you. If you're generous with God, God will be generous with you. You know, I believe that God is wanting to do a great work in Kenyan, Uganda. I believe God is wanting to do a great work in all over the world. We are coming into the greatest harvest in the history of the church. But to receive that harvest, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't do things your way, do things God's way. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possession, with the first fruit of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, God wants to bring in a harvest of souls. God wants to do a great work, but God is calling his church to step up and trust him to do it. It may look difficult. It may look impossible, but nothing is impossible, God. All is possible with God. And if we step out in faith and do what God has called us to do, and we trust him, and in our trust we obey him and believe him, God is going to prosper us. God is going to prosper the church, and God is going to bring in the harvest. And my church I go to here in the States, you know, we are seeing people saved every week in our church. We give an altar call every week. People are getting saved every week. People are getting water baptized every month. We're having so much growth. We're having to make the church bigger and bigger. You know, and God is prospering us so that we can enlarge our church. Because the more people that come to our church that are delivered from the power of sin, delivered from the power of Satan, the more God's blessing flows into our church. But we had to plant a seed. We had to build a church that would hold the harvest so that when the harvest came in, there was some place to put them. Are you building something for harvest? Are you preparing for harvest? Do you believe there's a harvest coming? Do you trust God for a harvest? If you do, you're going to give so that God's harvest is coming. You who are leadership, you're going to walk in integrity because God is bringing in a harvest. And you want to invest in God's kingdom. You want to grow God's kingdom. It is harvest time. The harvest is coming and God is pouring out his spirit, which I'm going to talk about next week. And God is wanting to bring in a harvest and God is wanting you to bring in the harvest. And we come to that by trusting the Lord. And part of trusting the Lord is we sow seed and so that the famine comes to an end so that we can receive the harvest that God has for us. You may feel like you're in a time of famine right now. But I believe we are coming into the greatest harvest in the history of the church. It is time to sow into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is growing all over the world, and it's time to sow into the kingdom, to grow the kingdom and do what the kingdom of God has called us to do. When you give, God will bless you. As churches give, God will bless them. We are all called to give, not just the people, but everybody's called to give. As we give, as leaders, we are an example of giving. We need to give. We need to encourage our people to give. I want to encourage you to give. See, if I give, God's going to bless me. No matter what the person does with the money, God's going to bless me if I give in obedience to the Holy Spirit and in obedience to the Word of God. And you know, God will protect us and God will prosper us when we do things God's way. I want to look at an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And this is about a king of Judah named Asa. Asa was the king of Judah during his time. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2, it says, Asa the king did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah, his people, to seek the Lord God of their fathers, that is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to observe the law and all that God commanded. And he removed the high places and the incense altar from all the cities of Judah. And the kingdom of Judah was quiet and had peace under Asa's reign. So Asa, in trusting God, removed all the idols out of his land. You know, an idol is not just a statue. An idol is anything that we put our trust in. You know, if we put our trust in something else, then we're not going to be blessed of God. And if you put your trust in man, man will fail you. If you trust your money, money will fail you. If you put your trust in education, education will fail you. If you put your trust in position and power, it will fail you. We need to get rid of all those idols. We need to quit putting our trust in things in the world because the things of the world go away. But the things of God remain. And so we need to shift our trust from the world, and we need to put our trust in God. So Asa did away with all of the idols in his land. They put their trust totally in God. He told the people, put your trust totally in God. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9, it said that an Ethiopian army came against Israel. Ethiopia had an army of 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots, and they came against Judah to defeat Judah. And verse 11 says, 1 Chronicles 14, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether it's with many or with few. You have all power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and your name we go against this multitude of army, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let this prevail against you. And verse 12 says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopian army before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopian army fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued the Ethiopian army. They overtook the Ethiopian army, and the Ethiopian army could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and Asa and his people carried away the wealth and spoil of Ethiopia. Why did that happen? When the enemy came, because Asa had done away with all of the idols in the land, they had put their trust in nothing else but God. When the enemy came against them, and a big and powerful enemy, much greater than them, came against them, they cried unto the Lord and they said, Lord, we have put our trust totally in you. Asa cried out to God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with few. You have the power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name we go against this multitude. See, when we trust only in the Lord, then when the enemy comes against us, we come in the authority of God, not the authority of position, not the authority of man's power, not the authority of money, not the authority of education, not the authority of the world. We come in the authority of the name of Jesus against every power of the enemy. See, God is calling us into a new level of trust in him. God is calling you to a new level of trust in him. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand up because we trust in the name of the Lord. I just want to pray for you today. God is wanting to move and prosper the church in Africa. But God is calling us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Don't lean on to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, for every person hearing this. If they're not a believer, if they haven't given their lives to Jesus Christ, I pray today they will turn away from the sin in the world. They will give their lives to you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we'll trust you with our money, with every aspect of our life, with our children, our family, and our country. You are greater than everything. And Lord, we declare today that we trust in you, and we'll demonstrate we trust in you, because we will give, and as we give, you will give to us. You will prosper us, and you'll rebuke the devourer in the power of your name, and you'll overcome the enemy because of our trust in you. Lord, I just pray your blessings upon every person. Listen to the voice of they. Keep them by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust you've enjoyed listening to the voice of hope today. This is my last time in Uganda, in radio in Uganda, but I'm going to continue in the radio in Kenya. You can always listen to my program by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org. God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.